This is Brother Hansen from Truth and Life Ministries here in Lakeside, Arizona. It's good to be here with you today. We're going to continue our study in the Patriarchs, and we were speaking of Moses yesterday, and Moses had a experience, a birth of a nation, God and Moses, the Israelites grown out of God's saving acts, the 10 plagues. And from Israel and Egypt, the songs of praise and of faith came in a single God. In other words, polytheistic God instead of a God of many. Now, let's go ahead and get down into some things here. Psalm 104, the hymn to God and the Creator, is often compared to Akhenaten's hymn to the sun disk. Verse 19 through 28, the psalm appear the sections of Akhenaten's hymn appear at in their sequence has been rearranged to correspond with the sequence of the psalm. You have made the moon to mark the seasons. The sun knows its time for setting. You make darkness and its night when all of the animals of the forest come creeping out. The young lions roar for their prey, seeking their food from God. When the sun rises, they withdraw and they lie down in the dens. People go out to their work and to their labor until evening. O Lord, how manifold are your works. In wisdom, you have made them all. And the earth is full of your creatures. Yonder is a sea, great and wide, creeping things innumerable. Are there living things, both small and great? There go to ships and Leviathan that you form to sport in it. These all look to you to give them food in due season. When you give them, they gather it up. When you open your hand, and they are filled with good things. And it goes on. You know, these songs of Solomon's are powerful, very powerful. And then we can get, into Moses and the law, the instructions that Moses received on the mountaintop. They were more than just rules to live by. They were the definition of Israel as a nation. The image of Moses on Mount Sinai receiving the Ten Commandments from God stands out as one of the most vivid scenes in the Bible. Amid thunder, lightning, smoke, and fire, we're told God appeared to Moses and engraved two stone tablets for him to deliver to the Hebrews waiting for him below. Moses spent 40 days on Mount Sinai receiving God's revelation. And to his followers, this seemed an inordinate amount of time as they waited their initial awe at witnessing God's presence on the mountain. Turned to impatience, ultimately believing that Moses, their link to God, would never return. They decided that they needed a new God and to lead them. They just said, well, you know, I think we need a new God, don't you? It's amazing how people can get together. Like, let's form a homeowners association. Why? It's amazing how people can get together and make such mistakes and stupidity. They decided they needed this new god to lead them, and they created a pagan idol. And this pagan idol would be their god. They created a golden calf. When Moses came down from the mountain carrying the tablets with the dialogue or Ten Commandments in his hands, he saw that the golden calf and shattered the tablets in anger. He destroyed the idol, and when those responsible for its manufacture were punished, he returned to the mountain to plead with God on behalf of the people. Now, this is a perfect example how the intercession of Moses made a big difference. If it weren't for the intercession of Moses, there would be a lot of dead people. But we find that the intercession of Moses was powerful, and it made a difference for the people. And the scholars question what the two sets or tablets might have looked like, since the great stone slabs typically depicted in paintings would be far too heavy for men to carry down the side of a mountain. Some researchers have suggested that the tablets might have been made of clay. I don't know. Those commonly used for cuneiform writing. But the Bible's clear that the material was stone. So, if it says it's stone. One possibility is that the laws were written on limestone, which can be flaked into relatively thin, flat sheets. Small pieces or flakes of limestone were used like paper in the ancient Near East. Large pieces are known to have been used by students as copybooks. Often both sides of a limestone flake were flat enough to use as writing surface. Writing could be done either with pen or brush and ink, or by incising the stone with a sharp point. The Ten Commandments given to Moses are the cornerstone of biblical law. But there are many laws in the Bible. More than 600 laws are presented in the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible. And collectively, both the laws and the books are referred to as the Torah, a word whose meaning is actually closer to instruction than law. Most of the laws in the Torah fall into one of two types, casuistic or apodictic. Casuistic or case laws govern situations in everyday life. They do not constitute a theory of justice, but rather describe what should be done in a specific case. When you buy a male Hebrew slave, he should serve 6 years, but in the seventh year, he should go out free person without debt. Exodus 12 and 21. Apodictic or categorical laws give absolute commandments to do or not to do something. By the way, that was just a clock striking the hour. So ignore it. Categorical laws give absolute commandments to do or not to do something. The most familiar of apodictic laws are the Decalogue. And you shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal. Exodus 20 and 13, 15. The two forms of laws seem to be randomly interspersed throughout the Torah. Most of the laws in the Torah are found in four major codes. The Covenant Code, or Book of the Covenant, found in Exodus, is a constitution for the nation of Israel, instructing the people how to live as subjects under God and forming a framework for the entire life of the community. It covers both secular and religious laws, including laws defining crimes against people and property, the rights of slaves, judicial proceedings, and worship. Deuteronomical code, found in the book of Deuteronomy, contains regulations for the centralization of worship and laws that define the roles of prophecy, kingship, and holy war. The holiness code presented in Leviticus 18-26 include many laws regarding worship and morality, and stresses that importance of holiness in the people and the priesthood. The word holiness in this case refers to Israelites' distinct moral and religious tenets, and includes such subjects as the proper procedures for sacrifice, sexual practice, and celebrating holidays. Other laws, sometimes referred to collectively as a priestly code, are scattered throughout the books of Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers. The Near Eastern context, the Hebrews were not the first to invent a legal system. There was only one of many of the ancient Near East. In fact, the legal system of some of the surrounding cultures were already centuries old when Moses climbed Mount Sinai to receive the Ten Commandments. The most famous of these codes, ancient codes, the code of Hammurabi, which dates from the 18th century BC, was one of the many that derived from Sumerian laws of the third millennium BC. King Hammurabi, who was one of the founders of the Babylonian Empire, had his code inscribed on stone steel that stands more than 7 feet tall and was installed in the great Temple of Babylon. At the top of the stone, a relief carving shows Shamash, the god of justice, seated before Hammurabi. While he gives the king the authority to enact and enforce laws, below the picture and inscription, nearly 300 paragraphs long, contains a body of laws on various subjects, including matters of public order, property rights, economic transactions, injuries and damages, and slavery, in the prologue and epilogue of the code, to the code. Hammurabi describes the role of the king as one who establishes laws and promotes justice to ensure the welfare of the people and the success of the government and the empire. Now, I'm going to stop there, and we'll take this up a little bit more tomorrow. There's just so much considering this oral law, Jewish law. And it's very interesting, and I find it very interesting myself. So let's go ahead and go to our website, krciradio.com, and you can find many of these already uploaded, and we can you can go through them again. Call us at 928-368-6766, and write to us, KRCI Radio, Box 424, Lakeside, Arizona, 85929. Till tomorrow's broadcast, is Brother Hansen saying, study to show yourself approved to God.